God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Who is God? That is a fundamental question of all time and in all creation. In Genesis chapter 1, I mentioned that there is a first question. A question being, who am I? Why am I here? How did I get here? Now, that may sound like three questions, but the answer to all three of those questions is one answer, and the answer is God. So then the question is, who is God? You know, if you go to Europe and you see some of these magnificent cathedrals that have existed for centuries, take Notre Dame or some other amazing cathedral, they have these huge high vaulted ceilings and these incredible pinnacles and steeples, all which point upward. They point toward God. Now, I'm not saying that the theology of the people that would use Notre Dame is correct. I'm simply saying that there was an acknowledgement of God and his place in the world and who he is. In contrast, many of the buildings that we see today as churches, or we used to call houses of worship, I don't know if you could call them that now, but church buildings are kind of low slung, spread out, and the spotlight is on the stage, which is not to say the platform. Now, again, I think, is it possible to make too much of what a building is communicating? Perhaps. But I think our culture, our art, our music, our buildings, everything is an indication, to some extent, of who we believe God to be. Many people would like to say, well, God is just a loving God. He's a God of mercy. And oftentimes that is used to back people off who claim any sort of standard of decency and morality. On the other hand, other people say, well, God is a God of judgment. God will get you. And they seem to forget that God is a God of mercy. So the upshot is that God is not who I wish him to be. God is not who the culture says that God is. God is who he is and who he has revealed himself to be in his own word. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil, in the form of the serpent, comes to Eve and tempts her in the Garden of Eden, a place of perfection, untainted by sin as of yet. And in verse 5, he makes this accusation about God. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God said, do not touch, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil is indeed tempting her to do just that, saying, you shall be as gods. Now, I want to tell you something. The God you serve determines the world in which you live. So much of the world as you see it depends on God as you know him to be. You know, the devil did hear what the devil often does. He asks a question and offers a lie. Now, he did not begin by going face to face, head to head with God. He instead posed the question, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He questions God. And then only later does he accuse God. God knows. God's holding out on you. You will be as gods. So if we don't know who God is, we really have a hard time knowing who we should be. And so the God you serve determines the world in which you live. Think about shame or the lack thereof. In Genesis 2:25, the Bible says of Adam and Eve, they were not ashamed. Well, that very quickly changed because of sin. The Bible speaks in the New Testament of those whose glory is in their shame. They are boastful of that which is shameful, and they are ashamed of that which is right. So what you're ashamed of or what you are proud of depends on who you believe God to be. You know, your relationships with other people largely depend on your relationship to God and who you believe God to be. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid, but they could not hide. God found them, said, where are you? Found them. And Adam, when God asked Adam what had happened, Adam says, well, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So he's accusing both Eve and God in one fell swoop. You know, in the next chapter of Genesis, the first murderer ever born was the first human ever born. Adam and Eve, of course, were fresh from the hand of God. Cain was the first person ever born. And he promptly murders his brother. It did not take us long to mess things up, did it? We mess things up between ourselves because things are messed up between us and God. And we can't know how to be right with God if we don't even acknowledge who God is. You think about the garden as opposed to the wasteland that the world became. God says, because of your sin, Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. Now, some Bible teachers believe, based on rivers that are named in Genesis chapter 2, that the Garden of Eden, roughly speaking, was found in the area that is now Iraq. Now, whatever Iraq is, it's not a Garden of Eden. It's not green and verdant and happy and peaceful. The fact is, that is just a stark example of what the world is. It's a world without peace. And so the difference between the garden and the wasteland is who God is and how you respond to him. And you think about work and toil. We find work before the fall of man. We find work after sin. The fact is we find work in the very last chapter of the Bible. The Bible says in Revelation 22:3 that the Lord's servants will serve him. So the difference between work and toil, what is it? Well, work is God's gift, serving is God's gift, but toiling is sin's curse. So are you serving? Are you happy? Are you using your energies for that which matters? Or are you just in a rat race? Can I just tell you, it would be a burden to be God if you are not God. To have the weight of decisions and the burden of ability or lack thereof, to have all the responsibilities that God would have, but not to be God. That's where we live so much of the time. We live with anxiety and anger and frustration because we're trying to be God and make things happen and choose our own way when we are not God. It's kind of like trying to live the Christian life without Christ. The only one who's ever lived the Christian life is Christ. And so it's not me doing something for God that matters. It's Christ living his life through me and God having his way in my life. So what is your life today? Shame or pride? Your relationships with others? The world in which you live? Is it a garden? Is it a wasteland? Your life's efforts, is it work or is it toil? So much of this boils down to the God that you serve. You know, if I'm only as able as the God I serve, if my God is money, then I'm good as long as the money lasts. If my God is health, I'm good as long as my health lasts. If my God is my ability, at some point I'm going to outlive my ability, perhaps. And in that case, my God is only as good as my ability. But if my God is the creator, I am as capable as the God I serve as he lives his life through me. Because the God you serve determines the world you live in.